It was 1945. Immediately following World War II. And the Bocher came to Bnei Brak, to the great Ponovitzer Yeshiva, in search of the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Kahaneman. He came into the Beis Medrash, which was at that time one story as opposed to two. And he came to the front of the Beis Medrash walking around. And he bumped into a man with a long white beard. And the man said, "Can I help you?" And the Bacher, by the name of Shlomo Reichenberg, said, "Yes, I'm looking for the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Kahaneman." And Rav Kahaneman said, "You just bumped into him. Shalom Aleichem. What can I do for you?" And the young man explained that he wanted to join the great Ponovitz Yeshiva. He wanted to become a Talmud there. Rav Kahaneman asked him, where is he from? Where are you from? Kids from all different yeshiva katana would come to Ponovitz to take the famous Bechina, one of the most difficult yeshivas to get into in all of the world. And Shlomo Reichenberg looked at the Ponovitzer Rav and he said, "I'm from Bergen-Belsen." The Ponovitzer Rav sees the sunken eyes. "I came after the war to Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim and I told him I want to learn in yeshiva. I want to learn in the greatest yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael." And Rav Kahaneman realizes this is not going to be the regular Bechina. He says to Shlomo, "Parents? No. Brothers, sisters, siblings? No." He says, "Did you learn in yeshiva before the war?" He says, "Yes. I learned in yeshiva in Weizen in Hungary." The Ponovitzer Rav here says, "You learned in yeshiva?" He says, "Tell me something. Do you remember anything? Do you remember maybe? Do you remember what Masechta you were learning?" He thinks, "I remember." The Ponovitzer Rav is getting more excited. You remember what Masechta? He said, "Yeah, we were learning Chulin. Before they took us, we were learning Chulin. You remember you were learning Chulin? Do you remember what Perek? And he thinks, Shlomo thinks, and he says, "Yeah, we were learning Elu Treifas. Elu Treifas, you were learning Elu. You remember you were learning Elu Treifas?" He says, "Maybe do you remember a daf? Maybe do you remember what page?" And he's thinking. He says, "Yes. Mem Vav Amud Beis." And the Ponovitzer Rav hears Mem Vav Amud Beis. And people start coming around. Other Bachamar Talmidim start coming. What's going on? Mem Vav Amud Beis is... Do you remember? There's a machlokas there. Machlokas Mem Vav. Maybe you remember something from the daf. And Shlomo's thinking. He's thinking. He says, "I remember. I remember my Rebbe was teaching me. I remember there was a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos on that daf. A machlokas Rashi and Tosfos." And the Ponovitzer Rav hears this and he can't contain himself. He gives him a huge hug and kisses him on the forehead. And he says, "Come with me." He puts his arm around him and he starts running with him. And other Bachim, other guys, need to see this, what's going on. They begin to follow after the Ponovitzer Rav and the Shlomo Reichenberg. And they're running through the streets of Bnei Brak. And they come to the home of the Gadol Hadar, the Chazon Ish. And they come into the apartment. And the Ponovitzer Rav, now he can't contain himself. And as people are waiting around, what's going on? He comes running and he starts to scream, "Netzach Yisrael, lo yishaker! Netzach Yisrael! Lo yishaker! The Jews are eternal people! It's true! It's real!" He comes into the room of the Chazon Ish and he says, "Look! Look at this boy! The Nazis, they took his mother. They took his father. They took his siblings. But they couldn't take the machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. Look at the koach of Torah, the power of Torah. So many anti-Semites have tried. It's not for lack of effort. They've all took their shot. All the nations, all the great empires who subjugated us are gone. They're in museums and in university libraries now. And all the anti-Semites throughout history, the Crusades, the pogroms, Inquisition, the Holocaust. But we're still here. Historians, they're baffled by it. How could it be? I'll tell you how it can be. Something they'll never understand. We have the eight Sayami. L'machazikimba. It's Torah. It's like Rameir Shapiro said, the daf achas. It's holding on to that daf. It's holding on to that Torah through fire, through hunger, through starvation, into gas chambers. That's what's kept us alive. Nothing else. But it's done so much more than keep us alive and help us survive. The Torah has helped us thrive. Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin Besimcha. Mishenichnas Av, Nematin Besimcha. When Adar enters, we have to increase our joy. When the month of Av, where we're in right now, the 9 days, we decrease our joy. But do you understand what Chazal is telling us? The natural state of a Yid, the natural state of a Jew, is one of Simcha, is one of joy. How can that be? Look at the world around us. We live in a broken world. You turn on the news, 29 people mowed down. You can't walk into a Walmart. We live in a world of sadness, of emptiness. We live in a world where we have every luxury accessible. Right here, we live better than kings and queens throughout all of history. Yes, even here in Beit Meir. That's right. Air conditioning, plumbing, medicine. And the rates for suicide, drug abuse, you had the Yom Iyun. The number one cause of premature death in the United States of America used to be automobile accidents. Not anymore. Now it's overdose. People are so empty, so broken. Simcha? Joy? And you know what? I wish I could just say it was the Gentile world. A few months ago, I was sitting with a Talmud of mine. It's a guy who has everything. Great-looking guy, charismatic guy, big workout guy, intelligent, family of means. I mean, the guy had everything. So much so on Hanukkah, when we play this chavrusa game, we play a game, I ask everybody, who, if you could choose one guy in the shir, to go ahead and to set your sister up, who would it be? Oh, usually you get a mix. Overwhelmingly, everybody picked this guy. Everybody. Speaking to him one night in the Beis Medrash, we're talking, and we're speaking and speaking, and okay, yeah, great, super, everything. I felt every time, underneath the smiley facade, finally I said, why whenever I say, I always feel a certain sadness. And it was like the dam opened. He became very emotional. And he said, Rabbi, I feel like I'm just going through, just like a checklist, just checking the boxes. He says, I feel gutted. I feel gutted. I feel empty. It's a facade. It's a show. He says, I know intellectually I go through it. Yes, I have this, I have that. And everyone looks at me, I should be like walking up, but I feel so sad. And I said, I want to tell you a story. It's a story that happened when I was younger, a teenager. I grew up in Staten Island, New York. Back then, it was a community populated, our neighbors were Italians. Now it's becoming Hasidish. And we had neighbors, Joe, Zachor Latov, his son Bernard, and they were good. You could learn it was incredible. Every Saturday, Saturday them, Shabbos morning, every Saturday morning, without fail, you could set your what? It was unbelievable. I go out of my house and we go in a shul. And already by 9 o'clock, Joe was out there and he'd be working that car. Wax on, wax off. I mean, he had so many polishes, so many different, it was incredible. And he would go, and I'd go to shul, and I'd come home, and I'd come home at 11:30, 12 o'clock, and there he was. Usually the shirt is sunny out, the shirt is off, and now this car, when I went out, it was sparkling. Now, literally, you could go ahead, you just do your hair, check your tie in this car. And I always go to Joe, have a good day. Have a nice Sabbath, take care. And every now and then I throw in, oh, Joe, she's a beauty. And he would beam. It's like I told him about his kid. He couldn't stop himself. He was so happy. And I'll never forget it. It was one Shabbos morning, and I come out of the house, and I walk, and I see Joe is sitting on the stairs of his house, and his head is down. He looks like he's broken. I say, Joe, how you doing? Just shakes his head. I say, you okay? He just goes like this. Points. And only then I see. His beloved, it wasn't a Ferrari. That's not what it is. I understand. It was a Cadillac. His beloved Cadillac, his baby. It's not there. I said, oh my God. What? It's gone. It's gone. Like he's talking about a loved one. I'm thinking, who's stupid enough to steal his Cadillac? Lunatic. I see someone stole it. He goes, can hardly get the words out. Done. And then he says, I spend so much time polishing it. He said, I spent so much time on the outside. I should have been working on the engine. And I walked around, I told my brothers, and then you know what? That resonated. How many of us, we're polishing our resume. Check this off, and do this for my parent, do that, and it's all great, and outside it's sunny, and we're flawless, and it's shining, and everything looks great. But how much time do we take to work on our pneumias? How much time do we take to work on our insides? On our engine, because each and every one of you has a Ferrari engine. Elokai shen neshama shen asakim dahoru dahori. You have a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, betzelem Elokim inside of you. What do you think you're going to go ahead and feed it? You think you're going to give it garbage and it's going to be happy? Maybe for a little bit you could sublimate it. You buy a shirt, and if it's a really nice shirt, it says Supreme. That'll last a little longer. But after how long, and it's gone, and you feel empty again, and you get more and more and more toys, but it won't fill that void inside of you. Because that unique engine that each of you possesses, it's incredibly sensitive. It needs a special type of fuel, and that fuel is called Torah and mitzvos. And nothing else is going to fill it. You can try, and some people... By the way, unfortunately, that's why addiction is a terrible problem in the Jewish community. Because we're so frightened of the power we have inside of us, of the greatness of that neshama. And when it doesn't get what it needs, we'll do anything to deaden ourselves to it than to live with what we should and could have been, that dull echo inside of us. Only Torah is going to feed it. I think what all of you are doing this summer, it's awesome. And every guy in this room, you should feel, on all different levels, because as Rabbi Targum was just saying, you all came in from very different places. But to see the hasmara in this space matters. And again, to see a guy reading and breaking his teeth over the words, but getting it, and feeling it. And again, it's not the cynical. Why can we learn on the 9 days? It's not like a frivolous laugh or a holiness or like psalmist. Real joy is a feeling of connection. I'm connecting to something beyond myself, to Nitzrius. A feeling of fulfillment, a feeling of I know what I'm here for. I have a tachlis, and I'm fulfilling that tachlis. And you have such incredible examples here. Just look around at all your madrichim and all the rabbeim. They were all here. And they came back here. Look how happy they are. There are a lot of other things they can be doing. I promise you. But they're here, and they're here for one reason. To give you that love at whatever level you're at. To have you taste the sweetness of Torah. Because when you taste it once, all the other pleasures, all the other ridiculousness, it falls away. It falls away. We were hardwired to love and to grow through Torah, to gain fulfillment through Torah. When people ask me, what's so incredible about the NCS White Cold? You know what I tell them? I say, you know what I think? When Mashiach comes, I think the NCS White Cold is going to be his first stop. They look at me strange. I said, you know, many say that the day of our greatest tragedy, Tisha B'Av, is an auspicious day to be flipped, to be a day of unbelievable, unbridled simcha. Perhaps the day that Mashiach will come. And if he comes, you realize that this time, all of the great yeshivas, they're petering out now. All the great batei midrashos, the Mir, Bris, Merkaz Harav, Ponovich, they're getting ready, Hakana for Bein Hazmanim, they're dwindling. And there's one place, this place, Medrash, where there's a Rizla D'Araisa. There's a thunderous Kol Torah here. You can't imagine what that is. It's you guys. It's you guys who are going to bring Mashiach. I give us all a bracha. Yiratz Hashem, we'll realize the koach of our Torah. We'll continue to work on our engines this summer. And Yiratz Hashem, we'll be the ones to greet Mashiach ben Hera v'yameinu. Amen.